Yeah, that was the equalizing goal in the second period for the Nashville Predators. I will say it again. Best postseason of hockey I have ever seen. Well, could Las Vegas be getting a hockey team at a better time, seriously? Well, hey, listen, good morning to you and welcome to another edition of Out of Line, facing off every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 on the official home of the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. I'm Brian Feldman, and today I will be joined in studio, as almost always, by Magnum, future Nevada Broadcasting Hall of Fame producer and personality. We are coming to you live from the Fox Sports studio in Las Vegas, and we are streaming live on LVSportsNetwork.com. You can follow the show on Twitter at Out of Line 1340 AM, and on Facebook, we do have a page that is called Out of Line. That's OUTTALINE. Please like, follow. Appreciate it. And without you, there is no show. So if you have an opinion or something to add, give Magnum a call. The Fox Sports studio line is 702-876-1340.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
What's on Tap is pouring out thanks to Bubby's University. Today is game two of the NBA season. I mean the NBA Finals. Same thing, right? Golden State opened the series, winning by 22 on Thursday night. Will LeBron James, I mean the Cleveland Cavaliers, same thing, right? Be able to find a way to steal home court advantage this afternoon at Oracle Arena. Stick around. And the NHL Finals turned back into a series, and the Nashville Predators made it clear they have no intention of taking off the glass slipper just yet. PK Subban, and say, hey, pretty much guaranteed victory and won it. Nashville now down 2-1 again. Tomorrow night they'll play back in Nashville again in front of a packed, jammed, country-filled house. Hey, UNLV 2017 All-American golfer John Oda, fresh off a near miss at this year's National Championships, will be joining the show. Also popping in a little later to help out with this week's Las Vegas 51s report, Media Relations Director of the Las Vegas 51s, Jim Gemma, and there's features, fact this, and this week's Blazin is a grand slam for the ages. On tap at Bubby's University, earn your degree in food, draft beer, gaming, and the hard stuff, where the only majors are mayhem and good times. Bring your Rebel ID and your first beer is free. You can roll 24 hours a day. That's right. They are always open. Bubby's University at 4570 South Hualapai between Tropicana and Flamingo. To learn more, check out bubbysuniversity.com. Well, starting off, Magnum, NBA Finals, Game 2 tonight. Nobody's expecting anything different. I think when you first look at the NBA Finals and you look at the first game, 22 points. Wow, Golden State's everything we thought they were. Kevin Durant added to the mix. There's no way. Well, if everyone remembers, Cleveland got pounded in the first two games last year. Almost deja vu-like. Eerie how they got beat. Matter of fact, if you look at LeBron James, out of the eight times LeBron James has been to the NBA Finals, he has lost the team he has played for, I should say, which is three different circumstances. Cleveland once, then three times down in Miami, now back in Cleveland again. He's lost game one 7 of 8 times. So nothing unfamiliar for LeBron James. But I ask you this year, and what I think is different, and we learned it in game one. How in the hell do you guard a 7'1" point guard, which was what Kevin Durant looked like last game? Mags, how do you guard this guy, man? I mean, seriously, he is a problem for anybody and everybody. I said it. If God is going to put down on earth a 7'1" point guard, he should also send someone down to defend him, right?
No. I don't want to see that. I'd rather see the guy put up insane offensive numbers. Here's the thing, though. They couldn't guard Harrison Barnes last year. He just missed a bunch of shots. Otherwise, it's a completely different series. Kevin Durant is not Harrison Barnes. Kevin Durant is going to make the shots that Harrison Barnes missed. He was 5 for 35 in the last couple of games of that series last season. That makes a world of a difference. Draymond Green is not going to get tossed again and completely change the complexion of the series.
He's not
going to
kick anyone in the nuts this year?
No, I have a feeling people are going to be disappointed in this finals. And I think it's just going to put a proverbial cherry on top of the crap that has been the NBA playoffs 2017 edition. Because to be honest with you, I have had absolutely zero interest in the NBA playoffs this year. I have a passing interest in the finals. I mean, I should have a little bit more of an interest because it's my job. This is what I do for a living. But to be honest with you, the NBA playoffs have sucked. And I think the finals are not going to live up to the expectations of all these people who've been saying, well, just wait till we get to the finals and then it'll all be worth it. No. Golden State is a far superior team to Cleveland. Emphasis on the team. They have four guys who are potential Hall of Famers. Cleveland, while good, they can't defend. They have nobody off the bench.
They're not physical enough, it looks like.
They're kind of, I mean, LeBron is what he is. He's the best player in the world. There's no question about that. Kyrie Irving is very good.
Elite.
Yeah, Kyrie Irving might be the second best player in the East. Kevin Love is good. But after that, Tristan Thompson, serviceable. I don't think he's anything fantastic.
Mags, there has been
J.R. Smith, a guy who can shoot.
If I heard it correctly, there are 11 players in the finals that have worn an NBA All-Star jersey at one time in their career. That is pretty incredible. It's never happened before.
I'm guessing Deron Williams, Richard Jefferson are in there.
Andre Iguodala.
Iguodala, yeah. I mean, Iguodala should have won the slam dunk contest a couple years ago. But, yeah, I mean, you're right. But I think Golden State's bench is better. You know, Clark, McCaw. I mean, who would have thought we'd be talking about Pat McCaw? Just a year ago, we were wondering where he was going to be drafted. And now we're talking about what kind of impact is he going to have in the NBA Finals.
Patrick McCaw's not the biggest surprise of the NBA Finals. Mike Brown is by far the biggest surprise of the NBA Finals. Mike Brown just made himself a millionaire again, Magnum. You realize that, don't you? That he is going to be the head coach of an NBA basketball team again. And I am not a Mike Brown hater. I like the guy personally. I don't know him personally, but I like Mike Brown. You know, his kid's going to play in the NBA, but I'll tell you right now, come on, man. What has Mike Brown done as a coach before he went 11-0 in the playoffs this year with the Golden State Warriors?
Well, yeah, and the funny thing with Mike Brown is, you know, he's a guy who quite honestly, probably wouldn't even be in the NBA if not for Steve, or who would not be in this position.
Do you know what Mike Brown was doing about 2 months ago?
I know exactly what Mike Brown was doing 2 months ago. Yeah. You know, it's almost comical, though, because I think Mike Brown, for all his faults as a head coach, I don't think he's a bad head coach. I think he was given a raw deal with the Lakers. He was put in a position where he was not giving a chance to succeed, and I'm not going to say that was because of his coaching inabilities. I'm going to say because the Lakers were a complete disaster at the time, and I don't think
he was given a raw deal in Cleveland too.
They fired him twice.
Yeah,
you know, don't think that's not weighing in the back of his mind. Like, hey, you know what? I have an opportunity to show these guys up. They fired me twice. After I took them to the finals, they fired me twice. You know, this franchise without LeBron James was nothing. But Mike Brown played a really integral role in that team developing with LeBron James' first run into the NBA Finals when he was with the Cavs before he went to Miami.
Yeah, I was going to say, Mags, can you imagine one thing you just said, and I'm just going to play on your words for a second. You said without LeBron James, the Cavaliers would be nothing, right?
Yeah, I mean, let me
expound on that. Without LeBron James, the NBA would be nothing because all you would have would be the Golden State Warriors, and in the far distant rearview mirror would be the San Antonio Spurs and the Cleveland. Can you imagine if you took LeBron James out of the NBA right now? The NBA could survive without Michael Jordan in the couple of years in the 90s. The NBA cannot survive without LeBron James. They have done such a horrible job making the NBA encompassed by LeBron James that if this guy went away right now, oh my God, would it be terrible. They would be forced to split up the Golden State Warriors just to make the NBA a competitive league.
Well, and it's like, let's look at a hypothetical here. Let's hypothetically say that the Celtics don't, because everybody forgets, the Celtics were the original big three when they had Pierce, Garnett, yeah. Ray Allen.
That was outstanding.
You know, that was, and you know, Pierce likes to criticize what the Warriors are doing, but it's like, dude, you forget.
He helped orchestrate that team.
Yeah. You know, and the thing is, let's hypothetically assume that you split up the Cavs, take Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving, put them on two different teams, and then you take Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and put them on three different teams. How much better is the NBA if you don't have these two teams that, because let's be honest, as good as the Celtics were this year, I don't have any faith or confidence that they're going to push Cleveland again next year. Barring injury, these are probably the same two teams that are going to be in the NBA Finals next year. And if it's not much of a Finals this year, I don't know what Cleveland could do to get better to where they could beat Golden State next year. I thought it was a fluke that they beat Golden State last year because of the Draymond Green thing.
Well, you know what they need to do, Magnum? They just need to complete the cycle. You put Kevin Durant on the Golden State Warriors. What you need to do now is take Kawhi Leonard, put him on the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now get rid of all the other teams in the NBA, and then you'd have a hell of a finals. You add right now Kawhi Leonard to Cleveland, and you've got one hell of an NBA finals.
Yeah.
It's a Hall of Fame all-star game every night. But you know what? At least it's competitive.
The problem with that is, what do you do with the other franchises in the NBA? Because quite honestly, if you are a fan of the Brooklyn Nets today, you have absolutely no hope next year, the year after that. In fact, you probably don't have any hope for the next 5 or 6 years because of the disaster created by Billy King, who's a buffoon, and the ownership, who when they move from New Jersey to Brooklyn, they basically traded away the future for an aging Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett. They gave up so many first-round draft picks for those two guys who were at the end of their career. If you're a fan of the Milwaukee Bucks, it's great. You got Greek Freak, Thon Maker. You've got some good young players. You're not competing for an NBA title anytime soon. The Magic, forget it. The NBA has a problem in that you basically have, I'm going to say, four teams that legitimately have a shot to win the NBA title next season. And that's before
and
free
that could
agency
change.
And the draft.
Yeah, that could change.
The Clippers, can they win it? Nope.
No.
That's it. You have the Celtics, maybe if they're lucky, and I reluctantly put them in that four, the Spurs, the Warriors, and the Cavs. The NBA, I'm sorry, I love watching these athletes. They're amazing. They're fantastic. What they can do on the court is unheard of. But the league as a whole sucks. It's boring. There's absolutely zero intrigue. And that's the fault of the NBA.
I've said it. I've said that all along. Mags, the bottom line is, how many times I need to say it? The NBA season started on Thursday night.
It did.
And it really is a crime that the NBA, the entire season, is between two teams, and it's 4 to 7 games long. A lot of people like yourself are leaning towards a complete blowout and one-sided by the Golden State Warriors. And more people are thinking that. I, on the other hand, again, I won't say that. Number one, I think we all know LeBron James got no help in game one. He really didn't get any help. Kyrie Irving will show up and help him. And the Cleveland Cavaliers, I am telling you right now, will win two games in this series, if not three. I think I said it before. I really think Golden State's going to win it in seven. I think it is going to be a better series than you think it is going to be, Mags. I think it is going to be the series that people hoped it would be. I really do. I think, and I don't even think today's game is going to be indicative of what we're going to see, because I think today might be another blowout by the Warriors. But Cleveland will go home. They'll get some pride. LeBron James, Kyrie Irving will step up. Love will knock down 15 points and grab 11 boards, and they'll play good enough to win two games in Cleveland and make this a series. I truly believe that.
I disagree.
I hope I'm not wrong, only because, like you said, I have a passing interest now that the finals are here. That's it. I am locked in to the NHL series. Yep. Again last night, even though it wasn't a spectacular game, as you see 5-1 Pittsburgh, you know, losing the game last night, Pekka Rinne again showed why Nashville's where they're at. And again, as I said earlier, the glass slipper is not ready to come off yet. I love it. I'm excited about it. Game four tomorrow night. I hope Nashville can win it again. The hoopla, the country stars, don't let that bother you. You know what? It's cool as hell to see Nashville excited about hockey, because I'm excited here in Vegas. And hey, we got the draft coming up pretty soon, man, which is going to be pretty cool as well. Listen, the other side of this, something that's pretty cool, is what UNLV golf has been doing. You know, UNLV's always been a basketball school, so we think, not so much. Golf has been a big-time sport at UNLV for a while, and we've got another All-American. That All-American is going to be here on the other side of this. You're listening to Adeline. Now, basketball has always stolen the headlines at UNLV, but quietly behind the scenes for several years, UNLV golf has been one of the best teams in the Mountain West Conference, and a number of times one of the best teams in the country. This year was no exception. UNLV made it to the Elite Eight at the D1 National Championships last week and lost to Vanderbilt, the number one ranked team in the country, by one stroke in match play. The leader of this year's Rebels team, and for the last couple years for that matter, is junior John Oda, who was recently the first player, I believe, UNLV golfer to be named Ping First Team All-American since Ryan Moore back in 2005. John is wrapping up his junior year at UNLV and is kind enough to join us now. Hey, John, welcome to the show, and I must say it is rare that we get a golfer on the show on a Sunday morning.
Thanks for having me, Brian. Mm. Yeah, it's been a good year, and proud to say that, you know, I'm a first team All-American and right behind Ryan Moore. It's cool.
Hey, I was going to say, John, you have been a three-time All-Western Region golfer and a two-time Ping All-America honorable mention. But when I say just what you said right now, John Oda, Ping First Team All-American, what does that mean?
It just means, you know, I had a great year, and, you know, just put all the hard work and, you know, early morning workouts together and all the studying, you know, getting my school handled, and it's just the culmination of just a really great year and great support from my coaches and my teammates. It means a lot.
You know, talk to me about this year's UNLV team. You guys started the season hot. You personally won two of the first four tournaments of the season, and every week it seemed like you guys were climbing in the national rankings.
Yeah, so the fall season as a team, you know, we were kind of figuring out who would be the top five, and, you know, with Shin, Harry, and I being the solid three guys, and, you know, finding the fourth and fifth guy was kind of seeing who would be the mix. And, you know, Justin Kim stepped up and Taylor Montgomery stepped up in the spring, and we kind of got close. You know, we're building, we're getting better every month, every tournament, we're in the mix. And, you know, to peak at the right time, winning conference and winning regionals and making it to Nashville Nationals, you know, this year was a very successful year.
Talking with John Oda, who is the first Ping D1 first All-American at UNLV since Ryan Moore in 2005. John, you come out of Mauna Loa, it's Mauna Loa High School, correct? In Honolulu.
Mauna Loa.
Yeah.
Monolulu.
Monolulu in 2014. You're Hawaii High School Athletic Association individual state champion in both 2012 and 2014. Were the 2012 and 2013 Hawaii State Amateur Champion. And you set the tournament record in 2013 at 19 under. You've played in a PGA event in 2012. Why did you choose UNLV?
Well, first off, I wasn't intentionally going to go to UNLV. You know, I mean, I never knew UNLV golf existed and the deep history UNLV golf had. You know, I always thought I was going to go to a Pac-12 school, you know, Washington, Oregon, Cal. But then I was recruited by, you know, former assistant J.C. Deacon, who is at Florida now. And, you know, he aggressively came up to me and sent me emails and telling me to check out UNLV. And I did some research, you know, and my dad and I took a visit, and I was just blown away by the practice facilities, you know, all the alumni that are on tour, you know, Coach Knight and how long he's been coaching, and, you know, so much the program had to offer. And it was almost a no-brainer for me to come. You know, I didn't visit any other school. I didn't even check out Cal, Stanford, any Pac-12 schools. I just felt at home when I visited UNLV, and, you know, here I am, and I guess it was a good decision to come here.
Got some good teammates, too. Another guy from Hawaii, as you mentioned, in Shintaro Ban. Sophomore Harry Hall had a heck of a year. You mentioned a few other guys. How important is the team concept in golf? You go out there, it's an individual sport, and that's the way people view it when they watch the PGA Tour, other than when you get to the Ryder Cup. It's pretty much an individual sport. But in college, it's a whole different game. How important are your teammates?
It's very important. I mean, you rely on your teammates to post a good number so you can advance, you know, to regionals and advance to nationals and to win tournaments. You know, it's five guys counting four scores. So, you know, you really have to believe and trust in your teammates. And, you know, and I believe in every single one of my teammates that, you know, if I have a bad round, they're going to cover me. And, you know, I hope they have the same deal for me. You know, I try to do my best so I don't let my teammates down as well. So, yeah.
You know, it was cool. I was watching a little part of it. They were showing some of it on the Golf Channel. And that putt by Justin Kim on the last hole, man, how big was that? It was just unfortunate that one stroke, you just didn't do it. But, man, to play the last couple holes the way he did, pretty impressive, right?
You know, we have a motto that Coach Knight tells us, you know, it goes back from way back to finish like a rebel. And that motto is how we played our last couple holes. Even though despite Kim making a mess out of 17, he came right back and birdied 18, and Taylor Montgomery birdied his last two holes, you know. So finishing like a rebel and finishing the tournament off is kind of our hallmark of our program. And, you know, that's helped us to get through to match play. And it was a big deal for him to make birdie.
Big deal for him, especially going on to next year. Coach Knight, he's been around for a long time. You just mentioned him. We know what he means to the UNLV program and the history he has created of UNLV. Ryan Moore, Adam Scott, so many others that have come through the program. How much has he meant to you and this current team?
I think Coach Knight means a lot to me. He sets, you know, very strict rules and to follow, and he has this one specific way to do something, and, you know, you either choose to follow the correct path, or, you know, you kind of just don't. And, you know, the guys who have kind of followed his way and follow the way he thinks it should be done, you know, were successful, and the guys who don't, you really don't see them. So he has a very strict and I don't know how to put it. I want to just say it's very strict, and you just do what he says. And, you know, luckily I've been on that path to get above a 3.0 and to, you know, to practice, to set up a good practice schedule on my own. And so I just follow that. And I felt like that has helped me to mature on my own in college and to be successful.
Sounds like regimented might be the word you were looking for.
Right, regimented.
There you go. Hey, so what's next for John Oda? I'm not as familiar with college golf as I am with the other major sports. When you were one of the best players in the country, do you leave school early and make a run at the PGA or Nike Tour, or can you play in college and on the PGA Tour at the same time?
No. If you decide to turn professional, you lose your amateur and college eligibility, so you would not be able to play college and professional. So for me, you know, there's definitely been thoughts of, you know, turning professional. I mean, I was thinking about it since last fall and kind of weighing the options. I'm still in a in-between and don't really know exactly what I want to do. But, you know, one thing is I want to get better at golf, and whether is that to come back and finish my senior year or to go turn professional right after summer, after Walker Cup, you know, that might be the best route. So, you know, I haven't decided yet. I'm staying amateur over the summer to play a couple of amateur events and try to make the Walker Cup, which is the most, probably most, it's like a Ryder Cup format, most prestigious amateur event. And there's a lot of opportunity there. So that's going on right now.
Well, I know we're wishing him the best of luck. He won two individual titles this year alone, four overall, and this year recorded 12 top 10 finishes, only three times this year in the tournaments that UNLV played in was John Oda not in the top 10. That is unbelievably impressive, John. I got to tell you, thanks for joining the show, and best of luck to you. I know all of us here in Las Vegas, not to put any pressure on you, and I'm sure everyone in Hawaii will be keeping an eye on what we will be hoping will be a long, prosperous PGA Tour with a couple of majors, my friend.
Thank you very much, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. John Oda, again, junior at UNLV, wrapping up his junior season, honor roll student, and very, very impressive. This kid can play golf. You should see him hit the ball. I got to watch a little bit of it on the Golf Channel. They were showing the D1 NCAA championships on the Golf Channel last week, and I got to watch John Oda strike the ball a couple times. Mag, it's a thing of beauty. He's not a real big kid, but he can, you know, the precision. And you talk about 120 rounds of golf, as I said earlier, 74 at par or under. I mean, how do you play golf like that, man?
Well, I think it really is a testament to Dwayne Knight and the job that he does. You know, him and Coach Phil, they are two of the best in the business when it comes to developing young men to play this sport, both collegially and professionally. And it sounds, based on, you know, what John had to say, it sounds like they're recruiting and developing outstanding young men off the golf course as well, because John certainly sounds like he's a fantastic.
What a great kid.
Yeah, he really sounds like a really good
young. And you called
young,
him a kid on the phone, so I mean.
I did, yeah. you know, it's funny, I'm showing my age a little bit, but, you know, I mean, I am an alum of UNLV. I never hide that. I'm very proud of the fact that I graduated from UNLV, and you know, I tweet out a lot about the men's golf team, and one of the things I always say in my tweets is how proud they make us alums, not just today or yesterday, but every single season. The job that they do over at UNLV in terms of the golf program, and the women's golf program is amazing as well. You know, I don't want to sell them short. They've both gone back-to-back championships in the Mountain West, so that's pretty amazing.
Super impressive.
You know, both men's and women's golf are back-to-back champions in the Mountain West. But, you know, we focus here on the men's program, and Dwayne Knight is truly, he's a remarkable man. If you ever have a chance to talk to him, he's a great guy, brilliant, and he loves this school, and you can hear it when he speaks about it. And I'm going to steal a line from my friend Ed Graney, and when he says that, you know, we do have a new athletic director here in Las Vegas at UNLV, and when Desiree Reed Francois is looking at things that need to be fixed, she's going to take one look at the golf program and say, nope, I'm not going to touch that.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
No. She definitely, I don't think she's going to have anything negative to say about that, just like I never have anything negative to say about Dwayne Knight.
Well, a lot of people, Bags, have said that that Dwayne Knight should lay down the driver, so to speak, and give it up. You know that you know you got to relate to the younger kids. The kids in school are, you know, 22, 23 at the oldest. You know, he's been coaching for so many years. And do you really screw with a legend, man? Do you really ever? You know what? There's certain people that they retire when they want to retire because their name alone and their and what they've created, the brand that he has created with UNLV Golf is something you don't mess with. And I think the respect factor alone, and you could hear it in John Oda's voice when I mentioned Dwayne Knight, leave it alone, man. Leave that alone.
Yeah, I think Dwayne Knight has kind of earned the ability to go out on his own terms. You know, 30 years at the program.
Absolutely.
National championship as a team. He's had national championship golfers. And, you know, it's truly, when you listen to some of the stories about, and John, a perfect example, he took his first trip to UNLV and he didn't look at any other schools at all. And I'm sure he was recruited by some pretty big ones.
Well, he said he was recruited. Yeah,
Stanford, Cal, yeah. Washington.
Yeah, Pac-12. You know,
and what I find amazing is UNLV is finding these kids from all parts of the globe. They have a kid from Singapore on the team. You know, in the past, they've had kids from Europe. I know Coach Phil goes over to Europe, and he recruits over there. So it's not just kids here in Vegas that they're getting, or...
Yeah, Harry Hall.
Yeah, kids in Southern California. They are getting kids from all over the globe to come and play at UNLV. And you know, that's a testament, again, to the fantastic job that those guys do. And like you said, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And Coach Knight has certainly earned the ability to dictate the terms of when he leaves and his retirement.
I agree 100%. And, you know, one of the things, too, out here in Vegas, as we go to break, golf courses, man, there are some unbelievable courses out here, and they keep building more and more of them. And I think that in itself is a draw on these kids' day off. They can go practice on some really nice golf courses. That one up in Southern Highland they played a tournament on. I played that course. That is one of the most spectacular and most beautiful golfing landscapes I've ever seen in my entire life, and that's right here in Las Vegas. Listen, we've got Blazing coming up. We've got Fact This. We've got the 51s Report, Jim Gemmer around the corner. Mags, 7 grand slams, a major league record hit yesterday in baseball. And hey, won by the 51s as well. We'll talk about that. And that will have something to do with our Blazing. You're listening to Out of Line on Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM.
This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm
There's that music, Blazing, brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. 215 at North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza, stone's throw from Centennial Hills Hospital. They feature 2 happy hours every day, and it is America's place for wings, beer, and sports during football season. I am there every Monday night hosting their Monday night football parties, giving away replica jerseys, wing parties, and a whole lot more. That is Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza. And Mags, today it's simple. I said there were 7 grand salamis yesterday in Major League Baseball. None bigger than the one hit by Albert Pujols.
They're loaded up for Pujols. Breaking ball up toward left field. Hugging the line. This one's got a chance to go. Go! Fly for Albert Pujols, number 600.
With the bases loaded.
Oh, how perfect. We talked about in grand fashion joining that 600 club, and Albert, a grand slam, number 600 of his career.
Only the 9th player in Major League Baseball history to hit 600 home runs, the first ever to hit a grand slam as his 600th, and only the second Dominican-born player to do it, Sammy Sosa, the first, and he's right behind him. Out of the 9 others to hit 600 home runs, only 4 have had career batting averages over 300. Magnum, I'm going to tell you this. I want your answer on this. Barry Bonds was close to 298. Willie Mays, 302. Hank Aaron, 305. Albert Pujols, number 2 all-time in batting average at 308. Guess who was number 1 that hit 600 or more and has a 300 batting average better than 308? And put it this way, he blows 308 out of the water. You'll never guess.
Let's see.
Never guess.
Hold on.
I was blown away. 600 homers over 300. I wish
Alex
I had the
Rodriguez.
How about Babe Ruth?
I was leaning towards Babe
Guess
Ruth.
Guess what his career batting average is, Mags?
350.
Very close. Good guess. 342.
Wow.
Talk to me and tell me he's not the most iconic athlete in the history of the world. 342 for a guy that looked like he belonged in a tugboat, for God's sakes. 342, 714 home runs. There is none better than the Big Bambino, but Albert Pujols does join an elite club, and a .308 batting average for his career makes him absolutely blazing with that grand salami last night. Mags, what do you got for me?
Mine's simple. Cristiano Ronaldo, Real Madrid goes back-to-back in the Champions League, first time in the Champions League era that a team has done that. He helps Real Madrid win their 12th European championship. The guy is the greatest athlete on the planet. His killer instinct in big matches is second to none. He is not LeBron James, where he will disappear in big moments. Cristiano Ronaldo is by far and away the best athlete on the planet. He's one of the greatest athletes ever. He's more than doubled the amount of goals in the Champions League by the second runner, by the second guy. He is essentially the Wayne Gretzky of soccer. His statistics are that insane. Ronaldo, in the last year, he's won two Champions League finals, a European championship with Portugal, and this season he wins La Liga with Real Madrid. Unbelievable 12 months for that guy.
What in the hell is that?
I have no idea.
That is that was actually Manchester United about a week and a half ago. But what I'm saying is, Mags, wow. Also, Ronaldo's got a pretty hot girlfriend, too. I saw her after the game last night. I imagine he has him in every city if he needs him. Incredible. That is Blazin', brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. 215 and North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza. Again, a stone's throw from Centennial Hills Hospital. Every Monday night during football season, I'm there hosting the best in the Monday Night Football Party in Las Vegas. Come on down. Again, we got a few months for that, but wings parties, replica jerseys, it's cool. And that's at Buffalo Wild Wings. Blazin', brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Listen, real quickly, it is time for Fact This. I'm going to make it simple. This is a fact, okay? It's a fact, Mags. What did I tell you was a fact beforehand? Go ahead, you can tell them.
That the NHL is coming to Vegas.
The NHL is coming to Vegas. That is a fact. This is my opinion. If you are not watching the Stanley Cup Finals right now, and you did not watch this year's Stanley Cup playoffs 2017, which I'm from Detroit Hockey Town, it is the best playoffs I've ever seen in my life. This is a way to get involved in hockey. Take a look at Nashville. You still got time. Tomorrow night, they're playing Game 4 in Nashville. Watch how excited. You tell me you think Nashville, Tennessee would be a hockey town. That can be Las Vegas. Don't discard it. Hockey can definitely work in this town. And that is Fact This for today. I want to switch quickly over, Mags, to the 51s report, Las Vegas 51s report. And you got some sound for me, right? Grand slam.
The pitch. Breaking ball. High drive in a deep right field. Back goes Negron. That was on its way, and it's gone. Brandon Nimmo with a grand slam, and Las Vegas takes an 8-2 lead in the top of the fourth inning.
Las Vegas would go on to win the game yesterday against Reno, 9-5, their second straight win in a row. The call by Russ Langer over on our sister station, 920 The Game, NBC Sports Radio. And, wow, pretty exciting yesterday. Jim Gemma joins us now, media relations director for the Las Vegas 51s. Seven grand slams in Major League Baseball and a huge grand slam yesterday for the Las Vegas 51s.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Brian. Brandon Nimmo starting to get his timing back. He had a hamstring issue during the World Baseball Classic, and I believe you've interviewed Brandon before. There's not a nicer person in professional sports than Brandon Nimmo. He's about as humble as you can get. He's a major league player. He's just kind of stuck down here right now, but he's got it going now, and he's always fun to watch. And yeah, Las Vegas is on this long road trip, but they conclude the first leg today up in Reno. Right now they're 2-1.
Yeah, not too bad. They lost the first one on Thursday, 1-2 in a row. Hope to see them get back on the winning track. But, yeah, a lot of players that I have talked to, Jim, in the 51s locker room, including last year, Wally Backman, this year with Pedro Lopez, and even last year right before Mike, how can I not think of his name? His name just slipped me right now. He's up back in the major leagues. We saw him down here all last year.
Yeah, Michael Conforto.
Yep. He said, yeah, I'll see Brandon Nimmo. We'll be up here for sure next year. We'll be up in the bigs. And but that's the beauty of the 51s is you see guys like Brandon Nimmo and another absolute major league prospect that we're going to see playing in the bigs in no time at all. You want to get down to Cashman to check out Ahmad Rosario, the shortstop. This kid is amazing, very young, and boy, does he swing a nice bat as well.
Yeah, and, you know, the theme I just said, Ahmed Rosario, the top prospect, and the number two top prospect for the Mets is Dominic Smith. They're both 21 years old. You wouldn't know they're 21 years old the way they conduct themselves. And, you know, usually guys like that in the past, I won't mention somebody with Toronto who's just kind of babied up the system and, quite frankly, wasn't the easiest person to deal with. These guys, these kids are great. And I say kids because I'm old. These kids are 21 years old. They are so nice and down to earth. And it's just a matter of time before Ahmed Rosario is playing at Citi Field. I think it's going to be sooner than later.
Well, I hope so, and you are 100% right. I have more fun covering the 51s than any other sport out here. I mean, I love covering UNLV as well, but it's great. These guys are a step away from the majors, and it's great. Listen, we got to run, Jimmy. Appreciate you. Las Vegas 51s report. They're out of town, but they come back against Sacramento next Tuesday. Got some specials next Thursday night. You got Dollar Beer Night and, of course, fireworks next Friday as well.
Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. Jim Gemma, Media Relations Director for the Las Vegas 51s. Again, we're out there all the time. It is as good of a time as you would have in Las Vegas, and they have promos constantly. There's nothing better than Cashman. I'll say still the best-kept secret in Las Vegas, man. Get out to a 51s game, AAA franchise to the New York Mets. Hey, Mags, we're about out of time. We're out of time. Hey, out of line, we'll see you next week. 8 to 9 o'clock every Sunday morning, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM.